Click kaya959.co.za. This is how
we do it. To download the Point of View podcast.
Welcome to Point of View. My name is Pimelo Motene. Goodness, there is no other story but this Mkhwanazi story. So I know it's been the more than 24 hours, 48 hours or so, but it still is the story of the day. And I suspect it's going to be the story of the week, if not a month. And I do think it's going to be developing. But before we get to the story, I just want to tell you quickly that we are going to be speaking to Professor Lana. Laura Smith, I beg your pardon. Laura Smith is a professor of African studies. That's in Georgetown University. They were here with other colleagues from other parts of the world to discuss collaborations between the US and South African universities. Now, I think this is very interesting. So they were hosted by Vitz. I think it's interesting because, as you know, a lot has been happening geopolitically, and our US-Africa relations, South Africa relations, have been recalibrated, or we are busy in the process of recalibrating them. And so I think it's important that we reflect on what other things are happening behind the scenes. If you may remember that there is a Christian group in the US that refused to accept the so-called Afrikaans refugees into their community. And I thought that's very significant. So academics are having conversations about what to do in this geopolitical climate where research funding, for instance, is drying up, where many, many things are becoming a challenge. And so they are discussing, you know, how do you best collaborate in environments like this? So I'm going to give you a clip of my conversation with her. I spoke to her a little bit earlier on today just to get a sense of what came out of that. And I think that's very, very interesting. We'll get you a clip of ANC Secretary General today, Fikile Mbalula, obviously reacting to the Mkhwanazi story, also paying tribute to Didi Mabuza as well. We'll give you that as well. And then a lot happened over the weekend at the US. Elon Musk launching a new political party, Donald Trump calling it a waste of time, calling him delusional. But something else is happening right now. In fact, in a few minutes' time, we will be seeing Netanyahu arrive at the White House. And so we'll speak to global affairs specialist Dr. Terence McNamee, who's coming to us live from Canada, just to give us a sense of all of that and more. And that's what's coming up after this.
Point of View.
Discussing the world around you.
On the street.
On the air.
And at kaya959.co.za.
So, of course, there is no other big story but the one of the press briefing that was given by Lieutenant General Mkhwanazi over the weekend, really, really just blowing the lid on what he believes are really relationships within the police that are unsavory. I mean, that's just me putting it mildly. I wanted to get a sense from experts about what they made of that press briefing and whether we should really be alarmed or not. The president warned that everybody must just sit tight. He's going to come back from BRICS and then he'll handle the situation. But I've asked Kelvin Rafadi, who is a crime expert and research associate, to give us his take on what he believes happened over the weekend. Thank you so much, Kelvin, and I really appreciate you giving us your time this evening.
Good evening, Kaya. Hey, the network is somehow very bad today.
Yes.
But what I can tell you is that by the top brass, they are one another with a life poisonous snake. I remember that incident where
okay, that line. I think I'm going to try us on another line. The line is really failing us.
A person by the name of Mr. Brown. So you remember?
Okay, let's try again. Kelvin, I'm going to ask that we try. I'm going to put you back to Tando, and then let's try another line so that we can get you. We can hardly hear you, and I really am interested in what you have to say. So let's just maybe end this meeting, and then we'll bring you back in again so that we can try and improve this particular line. So unfortunately, it's not holding up very nicely. As I said, Kelvin Rafadi is a crime expert and a research associate. And he has an interesting take on what actually transpired over the weekend. I've been hearing all day what people think. I'm really interested to hear what you make of what we saw over the weekend. 086-000-00959. Cizo, I know, opened the line as well in the morning. And a lot of you had a lot to say. But, you know, how are you feeling safe this evening? How are you feeling? I must say, I'm quite rattled. I am quite rattled by what we saw and what we heard. Obviously, all of these things will have to be tested. But Portfolio Committee Chair of Police and Safety, Ian Cameron, was in Parliament earlier on today. We'll give you a bit of a clip of what he had to say. So they want Parliament to investigate this. They also want an inquiry also to delve into what happened. But at the center of what he is pointing out is the fact that the Minister of Police may have lied in Parliament, and that's what he's bringing up. So we'll bring you that clip as well, just to give you a sense. He couldn't be with us this evening. He apologized because he had another meeting, but we do have the sound of what he had to say. Let's try Kelvin again and see if that line holds. Kelvin, are you able to hear me?
Yes, I am.
Oh,
I can
excellent.
Hear you very
it's, clearly now. It's sounding much, much better. You know, I interrupted you while you were just maybe giving us a bit of background to the story.
Yes. So what I was saying is that, you know, we are seeing the top brass, including the minister, using a very poisonous snake, throwing one another with a very, very, very poisonous snake. Now, if you recall, the so-called Mr. Brown, Mr. Mkhwanazi went to the Parliament Committee and highlighted to them about this particular character. But at the time, the minister denied knowing him, and then fast track, and then all of a sudden he does know him as one of his associates. But what is very disturbing is that even though Mr. Mkhwanazi, lieutenant, has highlighted all of this in a public domain, in the, you know, the eyes of the public, perhaps he is now frustrated. He doesn't know where now to report all of this matter. And to a point that he said himself in his own way to say, even though they can dismiss me from my work, I can end up losing my work in the subs, I will join the private security or the private sector and carry on in fighting the crime.
In your perspective, how do you see this ending?
Yes, so it has come to a point that we heard about the so-called meeting in the minister's house, I think somewhere in Waterkloof, and then things didn't materialize, whereby Lieutenant General Mkhwanazi and Shadrack Sevea, they were called and there was some mediation, but that never materialized. So at this point, because of this, also a politician being mentioned, members of parliament being mentioned, so it's only the president who can preside over this particular matter.
How far and how wide is this net of corruption? I mean, we've obviously been given a sense of how, you know, how far up it goes. But is that as far up as it goes, up to the minister, or is it wider? He spoke obviously of the fact that these tentacles also reach outside of the borders of South Africa.
Yeah, look, we always knew that there are political interference, especially in the sector of the so-called crime intelligence, who, by the way, are supposed to be proactive in combating crime, to a point that many of the so-called splash funds, they are misused, especially in terms of issues of projects. We heard that normally, even before the election, whether be it local election or any other elections, there are so rogue units in within the crime intelligence that serve the interest of politicians. So based on that, we are not surprised, and we are aware that most of the splash funds are misused, and there are certain rogue units and even certain, fiction in within crime intelligence. So it flows now towards the detectives because of the recommendation. Most of the time, they are actioned by DPCI and even some of the organized crime in within the subs.
Is there more to come?
Well, I guess so. Yeah, there is more to come because of now. I've seen many coming out now retaliating those who are not in support of Lieutenant General, saying that as far as even 2012, him and General Fani Masemola, who's the National Commissioner, they misuse splash funds. And then they always had this in their skeleton. So things are coming out. So that's why I call it a movie, and we should just sit back and watch the movie unless the president intervenes. But again, what is the other agenda in this whole thing, in the middle of this war, is the appointment of the new DPCI head, the new Hans Livia is out. So you have seen that that very particular post was advertised and then it had a name tag. But somehow, you know, certain information was leaked. Then it had to be re-advertised. So this is also, again, whoever has to head the DPCI has to be someone that is highly recommended, even politically for that matter.
I mean, who would we trust to do a full investigation in all of this?
It's so difficult. No one we can trust so far because of even those that we were relying on, knowing that they are vocal, we have seen that they are taking sides. And IDEC as well is being discredited. So we do not know. So that's why I'm saying that the president needs to come back. And then the first thing, he needs to now overhaul the whole of this crime intelligence, the head of the DPCI, and also filling up the post of the crime intelligence head in the Eastern Cape and KZN. I mean, we only learned yesterday about KZN, and that's why there's so much high crime, because of no one is proactive to detect and deter crime and mitigate before even organized crime can take place. So there are good men and women in blue out there who even qualify for security clearance, by the way, that can lead us and take over the baton.
Okay, that makes us feel better. As you say, there are good men and women out there who can still do this job. I mean, I think that's kind of what South Africans want to hear right now. And if you say so, we'll take your word for it. Really appreciate your time. Kelvin Rafadi is a crime expert and research associate. I'm also going to be bringing in Dr. Chris de Kock, who's also a crime analyst on the line with us. Dr. de Kock, thank you so much for your time. Good evening.
Good evening. And good evening to the listeners.
Dr. de Kock, we all were watching the press briefing over the weekend. You know Lieutenant General Mkhwanazi quite well. What did you make of what you saw?
No, I know him quite well. Well, not for the last 12 years since I retired and be an independent crime analyst. But when I was still at the SAPS, head of the Crime Information Analysis Center, I worked quite closely with him in those months that he was a acting national commissioner. And my view of the Lieutenant General is that he is a very straight person, a person who believes in the truth and who will not deal kindly with any corruption, any lies, and also that he is a crime fighter of excellence. He is really a crime fighter of excellence, and he believes that crime and corruption should be rooted out. So I don't know if they have changed in the 12 years, what I've seen on TV and what I've heard and what I've read. It didn't seem that he has changed. I think he was extremely frustrated. I think he tried all the channels to bring this under the attention of the authorities, this corruption, this syndicate, as he referred to it. And then in the end, he just felt powerless, that nobody is listening to him. The National Commissioner, according to him, didn't listen to him, and nobody listens to him. And there were no answers to whatever he said. And he then just dropped the bomb, so to speak.
What did you make of his, you know, the manner in which he went about exposing all of this?
No, I think, I mean, that is, as I know him, and I think he had, as I say, I don't think one will be the provincial commissioner, the rank of lieutenant general, and you will do something so, if I can put it so, irresponsibly. Just because you want to make your point. I think he tried his level best other channels. He was advised by various people, and that this was his only thing that he could do. Because if he kept silent, you never know what will happen to him. You know, the corruption, unfortunately, is so deep-rooted in our, unfortunately, in the police service, and we see it on a daily basis, that he couldn't stay silent. I mean, he's a senior police officer. as a senior, I mean, one of the most senior police officers, if you know something about corruption in somewhere, you can't keep quiet about it. You either have to go and open a case at the station, you have to talk about it, because if you don't do that, you are part of the corruption.
So, Dr. de Kock, where does this leave us in your view right now?
No, it leaves us in a terrible predicament, because it indicates to us where, you know, all of us had hopes. All of us had hopes that when the new minister was appointed, we said, okay, give him a chance. And I mean, people, I mean, the media asked me a few months later, do you think he's making some progress? And I even said, yeah, it seems he's you know, he's really working hard and really wants to make a difference. And now, unfortunately, we all have question marks. Mm. So it leaves us in a very difficult position. And that doesn't help, you know, it doesn't help the public, the people out there to have confidence in the South African Police Service and to go to the South African Police, to the nearest station and to the nearest person working in crime intelligence to tell them, to give them information about what is happening in my community. Mm. It actually makes you fearsome that if you go, you don't know, if you go there and you tell a police officer or crime intelligence person about something, if that is not going to turn against you. And that is the trouble. I mean, we need a police service which we can trust. We need crime intelligence people that we can trust. Now, 2 weeks ago or a week ago, General Khumalo, plus all of his managers, were standing in court. Mm. Now, that also didn't give me confidence. Mm. Now, I don't know. You know, it's easy to say, but I think the president must definitely come back and show us that he are serious of getting rid of all of the corruption, of all of this things in the South African Police Service.
So we now have all of these looks like gloves are off. What do you think then is Mkhwanazi's future in the police force?
No, I think he stick his head out very, very far.
Mm.
And that shows me the frustration. As I know him, well, 12 years ago as a person, his absolute frustration, and that he was prepared to put his job online.
Mm.
Because I'm certain they will find a way of getting rid of him. Not rid in the, you know, in a ugly sense, but they will. I think this will cut his career short. Which should not be the case. Which should not be the case. Actually, it should give him a better future.
Hmm.
Because he did the correct thing that the senior officer, one of the most senior officers of the South African Police Service should do. They should not close their eyes for corruption. But unfortunately, maybe, you know, it could have be handled internally, more quiet, not going to the media, not having a media conference.
Would it have?
But the problem there was that he said himself during that conference that he tried.
Yeah, that's
it. The internal workings, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
Now, what else must he do now? Because tomorrow, if he did nothing, tomorrow you may have heard that he's arrested because he didn't do what he should do.
Sure.
And all, you know, as we hear on a daily, well, at least a weekly basis. Last week we have heard it about this one guy, I think it was in Ekurhuleni, the one person there of the Ugut group who was killed. Now we hear this on a weekly basis of people, whistleblowers, who are killed because they tried internally to inform the authorities and say, listen, there's some money disappearing here. So I think Lieutenant General Mangwanazi, and I've got great respect for him, that he felt, well, this is the only way out. I must have a media conference.
Well,
and I must tell you for senior police officers, they are not always. I'm from a different background, but senior police officers, you know, from a policing background, all the way from the most junior rank to the highest, they are not, if I can put it mildly, they are not people who run to the media. They try to solve problems internally. But this man now goes and he have a media conference, which we have all seen on television.
Well, we'll obviously be watching. Dr. Krista Kok, thank you. He's a crime analyst, just giving us his take. He worked, knew Lieutenant General Mkhwanazi quite well when he was still working in the police force. I did ask for your questions. I asked you for your comments as well. 086-000-0959. Maletsema, you're in Springs. How do you feel this evening about all of this? Good evening.
And we're praying for Babu Mkhwanazi, Tunkurunkolo, Amzigel. Because it is so sad, Ausimelo, because your previous call, like he just said now, Limpo. Imagine Mpo Mo Israel, Mo Captain Park. He was choked because of unveiling so many things. But how far would they go? Like Ikazi Akuma Bandu, how far would you go going about killing and killing and killing and killing? Does it satisfy you? You want to like just stand and like come out and makpel? Because follow what easy, but Twitter Ikazi Labandu Abafu expose or whatever that is happening there. Habahatali Kina Auspimanlo. Ikanangan Kedetans by Yijen Hore, Hosu Sina Halo, Hosualimai, they have it. How woman, let them stop Auspimanlo, let them just stop. Imali. I knew who was satisfied me because all but actually thing like that, all but no ruby, there is some cooling but the chalet, the cabot or by them to the baggage. How about the current baggage? Ma, the rappel and the Democrat or Mudim, Hamus, the cabaton. Our hope is in God in this country, honestly. It's very scary.
Maletsema, thank you. Maletsema in Springs. And continue to take your reactions on 086-000-0959. South African Police Union spokesperson Lisiba Tobakhale is also on the line with us. I've asked him for his take on all of this. Ndata Tobakhale, thank you so much for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you for having us and greetings to your listeners.
We've all been watching what's been happening. What's the morale in the police service right now? Like we saw a statement released earlier on today saying, you know, things must go on as usual. Cases will be followed up on as usual. But on the ground, what's the morale like?
Being a police officer, it's a constitutional mandate that one is carrying, and it is definitely a calling, and policing machinery, it runs day and night, it runs throughout. Definitely, like the National Commissioner has said in his statement, that the day-to-day operations, they are still running through. So that is what every police officer understands that should happen. And whenever there's any issues that seems to have a potential to bring doubt and to bring maybe some sort of discomfort amongst members, but the mandate that one is carrying in terms of the constitution, which is to serve and protect and to maintain law and order, and also to make sure that the inhabitants of the republic and their property are safe, it is what one takes as an oath when they joined the force, when they joined the South African Police Service, and it continues in that manner.
And I suppose the question arises because, first of all, the reason that statement was put out is because you guys, you know, the ministry understands people are feeling uneasy, people are not sure. And so we understand what you've just said about the constitution. But is there anything to say about how you would want to give the public more confidence in your members?
The police are there to serve our communities. They are there to serve our protect our communities, and they are also part of the community that we are talking about. I think that is at most important. When we speak of police officers, Pemelo, it's not like we are talking of people who live in another planet, in Mars or somewhere in another planet that we don't know. They are part of the community. They are our brothers, sisters, our mothers, our fathers. They are also the very same issues that affect communities, issues of crime. They also get to be affected by crime, and some of them, they get, you know, they lose their lives when they are on or off duty because of criminal activities. So we are saying it on the basis that issues that are happening in the society, they affect police officers as well, largely, more especially when we speak of criminal activities in this regard. So I think that confidence, it remains to be there, more especially through initiatives that are like your community policing forum, which is a very good initiative that has been initiated in terms of the Police Act of 1995, as we have seen. So in this regard, meaning that the police and our communities, they need to join hands and work together in making sure that we are fighting against crime. So on the basis of community policing forum and police being the part of society, that relationship, it is an ongoing relationship. You can never detach that relationship, and we need to work on it day and night. And those are the efforts that we keep making from our side as a union to make sure that this good integration, this good communication, this good relationship between our society and the police, it remains to be maintained throughout. It is a work in progress, and it continues to be done in this regard. And we don't give up on such efforts in this regard, because if there is no confidence, then amongst ourselves, if the police don't, you know, have that confidence in the members of society, the society doesn't have confidence in the police, then how are we going to make sure that we face the one enemy, the number one enemy, which is crime? So that is where we need to keep on putting our focus at.
Well, thank you so much for talking to us. And I understand it must be quite a difficult time, you know, to have much to say on this one. So I really appreciate it. And thank you. We'll obviously keep, you know, connecting with you as a South African police union. Lisiba Tobakgale is a spokesperson thereof. And I do want to take more of your questions and calls and comments. As I said, Semi is calling us from Polokwane. Semi, thank you for calling. Hi.
Good evening.
Hi, how are you, Sammy?
I'm okay. Well, I think this matter, I've heard Calvin saying that Ramaphosa must come back and fix the mess. Ramaphosa must also step back from this one. Because the person implicated here is an ANC member, isn't it?
Yeah,
and
it is.
And it's part of Ramaphosa's inner circle. So how are you going to trust Ramaphosa to take action on this matter and resolve it? This one is just the one that doesn't need an ANC member at all. It must be dealt with by Parliament, a parliamentary committee of some sort that is free of ANC members. Let's just face the reality, Pinel. The problems that we are experiencing in our countries, especially when it comes to crime, these are ANC, like corruption within the police service and so on. These are ANC problems.
Yeah.
The ANC created. When Shamila Bate had said that, no, MPSD has been infiltrated, and Ramaphosa was this. Did you see how quickly she dismissed it?
I remember. And she had to come back and say, no, she didn't mean it that way.
It's been proven that MPSD has been infiltrated. TV proved that. So even SAPS has been infiltrated by rogue elements, and those rogue elements, ANC, this guy that has been talking about, this shady businessman, he's clearly connected to the ANC. So it's about high time that some way, somehow, Parliament needs to deal with these policing issues. They appoint a policing minister. Maybe they must just fire this Mgungu character and appoint a police minister, like who's appointed by Parliament, not by Ramaphosa, because Ramaphosa is just going to bring back another ANC. So these are ANC problems that just need to be getting rid of. Otherwise, we're not going to get anywhere. I mean, this revelation is too explosive.
Mm. Yeah, Sammy, thank you for calling. Sammy in Polokwane there. I've got a voice note coming through. Let's just take a quick listen.
He's a higher ranking official. He knows protocol. Why didn't he hand in the case? But yet when he started that briefing, he announced about, he spoke about some criminals who were being protected, meaning that the avenues have been exhausted. The proper avenues has been exhausted. Let's protect Ntate Mkhwanazi because he is for us. Politicians were busy accusing him of things, trying to protect their own. I hope the president will do the right thing when he gets home. I saw some leaders, prominent leaders in our safety wing as a country, saying bad things about what just happened. Some saying they wish, they want him to fall. I'm like, what? What? The whole special investigation unit officials, the whole majority political party officials, the whole SAPS leadership. Hi.
Yeah, no,
2025. Hi, skeletons are getting out of closets, eh?
Lufuno.
Movie after movie.
Lufuno is in Joburg Central. Hi, Lufuno.
Hi, Pimelo.
How are you?
I'm not good.
Yeah, I hear you.
Our country is going down the drain. How can I be good?
Yeah, I hear you. What's your take on what's happening right now?
My take is just one thing. Please hit the platform. Remember the Zimbabwe rendition saga?
Yeah.
Invite those guys on air. Mm. They'll shed more light to this India guy. That's all I'm saying. Invite those guys who have been dismissed, they've been on suspension, they are being paid staying at home. Even if they call anonymously, they can shed more light to this India guy and the rest of the team. That's all I'm saying. We've had, the police have been a problem for this country. All our problems are from the police. Every problem that you see, every corruption that you see, because the police do not do what they're supposed to be doing, and because they are so much entrenched in this whole thing. So get those guys, they can shed so much light to the rest of the country.
Appreciate your call there. Thank you, Lufuno. Dolly in Soweto. Good evening, Dolly.
Evening, Chimela. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm not good, Chimela. You know, my heart is bleeding. May the good Lord safeguard Ntate Mkhwanazi. Because honestly, we have no law enforcement in our country. When one individual wants to do the right thing, everybody, even us, we turn against him. Honestly. You know, Pimelo, just like the previous caller has just said, you know, everything that's wrong, everything, I can say it's only 2% of our police that are doing their job in the right way, that are upholding the you understand that they are bound, that are holding their vows. You know, here in the education, look at our children. Our children have been ripped off by Inyaupe, by Iwunga, by Crystal, by everything, each and every corner, because our youth is not working, right? High employment rate is so high. So corner to corner, very early in the morning, Pimelo, you see a young guy standing there with name tags, you know, as if they are intellectuals or something. Some of them, they've been to school, majority of them. In those name tags, there are drugs. and only to find that during the day there are police vans who are going there to go and collect from the owner of those trucks. You understand? Mm-hmm. Now here is someone like Obabu Mkhwana trying to do the right thing, and then some of us South Africans are on his case. Where is this country going to? Honestly, because in South Africa, when you tell the truth, in South Africa, when you do the right thing, you must be killed. For how long are they going to kill abantwana babantu for telling the truth, for doing their job? For how long? Aren't they getting tired of blood money? Because they're driving a flashy car, they're staying in estates, in very expensive places in the suburbs, at the expense of poor people, in the name of blood. No, man, this is nonsense, honestly. Thank you.
Nomsa in Ekurhuleni, let me hear your take, Nomsa. Good evening.
Thank you. Evening, Tumelo. Thank you for taking my call. Mm. I think I want to honor General Mkhwanazi and say, thank you, Baba, for actually reiterating my sentiments. Dimelo, I phoned you about my identity theft.
Yeah, I did.
I was sharing on social media mentioning that it is the South African police in Benoni and Springs who are selling our IDs to foreign nationals. The killings, the human trafficking. I've mentioned how they murdered my mother. In my family, they managed to sweep just about every person, making sure that our children never get to see even the gate of school yards and they graduate through the political connections that they use. Mr. Panyaza Lisufi said, my daughter goes to jail crying in frustration. I told you, you spoke with her when Mr. Lisufi was there, when she said Uhuru, she wanted to go to school. Uhuru has been to school since that day. Instead, Mr. Rafadi came to my house. After coming to my house, after we've spoken with you, my house was broken into. We were vandalized. Oh. We were terrified to death. Our electricity was cut to date. Oh. We have no electricity. She has no means to even continue online. The things that the police have done to us, they are the worst criminals ever. In my family, started with a police officer raping a family member. After raping that family member, my mom was a key witness. They started with my mother, a brain in the house. And with her children, they started everybody, including myself, not even physically, taking our ID documents to foreign nationals. I'm telling you, as I'm standing, there's a Nigerian who claims me as a wife, claims my daughter as his daughter, which is not true. A drug addict, a drug trafficker and a drug seller who works for our Home Affairs. In 2023, he phones himself to tell me that my stubbornness has landed him a cushy job in our Home Affairs, and I will suffer until I die. I haven't been to work. I'm still sitting with that injury. We're ducking and diving, saving our life not to be killed. It is pathetic. The procedure that they sent General Takamkhwanazi has flaunted, it is so rigged by people who are ready to kill you first thing tomorrow morning if you follow the procedure. I have done that. So much that the police officers, even the spokesperson, Miss Atenda Mate, knows me very well. She was involved in taking my identity to a foreign national who came and working in the media, as I speak with you, and his family, and took it back from that Zimbabwean. It's with a Nigerian and a Congolese. My teachers are with a Nigerian and a Congolese family now, coming to be myself and my husband. They make me myself, Mrs. Shabangu, and they make me Mr. Shabangu. Then they make those people, Mr. and Mrs. Shabangu, as if they are me, on my identity, just to frustrate me. I have been nearly murdered, I don't know how many times, Pimelo. And I said to myself, you know what, if it had not been for the Lord, but I want to thank General Mkhwanazi today, and if South Africans, we know what's good for us, let's rally behind all those people who are trying to steer our country back to us as the owners of this country, because our country is gone, Pimen. The foreign, this foreign national that took my ID comes to my face and tell me that you go to the police. I paid the police for your ID, so there's no way you have to fight me. She's telling me to my face. As a professional, she's a school teacher with my ID. She told me that. Hence, I'm at home. I can't even earn a salary. I can't even work. The Department of Health, they told me the day they admit me to hospital, they will kill me.
Wow.
So you want to tell me that we should be happy? Cyril Ramaphosa keep saying he's going to come or not. The Zimbabweans that are using our details, thriving on our soil, they're not using their own IDs. They're not opening those bank accounts and debts on their names. I get phone calls. I'm a car dealer owner, Pimel. I'm a multiple property owner. Things that I don't even have. Millions that have never even hit a bank to make a loan. And all that, even in the bank where I bank, the bank manager who protected me is gone today. The police officer who investigated my matter is dead. The attorney that was taking my matter to court is dead. Godfrey Libia resigned and retired on my matter. Mr. Libia, he phoned me in person to say we're giving attention to a matter. It has been more than 17 years to me. 17. My house was broken into in 2009 in Desert Parkin Springs. The police officers were renting it out to foreign nationals, doing crime, doing every prostitution you can think of. I went to work one day as a manager technique, and I was called a prostitution madam. I could not understand. They said, your husband is prostituting our children. I said, what husband? They're using my details, a copy of my ID and my car that was stolen. I have told you all that, Pimel.
Yeah, I remember
to
that.
Date, my daughter, that child now, she's even 20 years. She cried, she wrote, she did everything she could. She wanted to take her own life. She felt like everything else is against her. I'm telling you, Mr. Yusufu said, Uhuru's father is a foreigner, and Uhuru will school in her own father's country, the father that's dead. Uhuru must go and raise and say, rise up from the dead and give me education. It is so painful, our government. It is so sad. Imagine a foreigner coming to your face. That foreigner's child is at school as Uhuru, my child. And he's not my child. He's a boy. I have a daughter.
Thank you, Nomsa in Ekurhuleni. And she says, you know, as she says, she's been on this platform before, raising these issues. And yeah, I mean, it's quite something. Let me take a quick break and I'll be back. I know I see lots of your calls. I see lots of your voice notes. I want to just quickly go to what's happening in the US and then we'll continue this conversation.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.